Well, it's good to see you all here this morning, and thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to just thank you, church, for all the love that you have bestowed upon us, the Schwabs, this last couple of weeks. We have felt your love and appreciation in just this difficult time of saying goodbye to Melanie's mom. Had a wonderful service for her last week, Monday, and it was absolutely beautiful. The name of Jesus was glorified, not only in Florence's life, but in her death and in her service that celebrated her life. And it was just wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for the food and the cards and the gifts and just the love and the hugs. We really appreciate that. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, this morning, I wondered if anybody knows what's happening this week. Anybody been to the stores and seen anything, decorations or see any? Does anybody know what's happening on Thursday? Everybody knows what's happening on Thursday, right? There's something called Halloween. It's not hard to figure it out, right? All the candy and the decorations and the costumes that coincide with Halloween are on full display. And on Thursday evening, the children will be parading the streets, dressed up in costumes, knocking on doors, saying, what? Trick or treat. And then in hopes of bringing in that massive haul of candy. It's the one day of the year that it's actually acceptable to receive candy from strangers. Who knew? It's the one day of the year that people who wouldn't normally come to your door come to your door. And for Christians, Halloween is a controversial subject. The dark side of Halloween, the scary costumes, the celebration of death and gore, and the evil cultic practices that are associated with it are very disconcerting. But then there's this lighter side of it that offers some fun and excitement of dressing up and getting lots of treats. And for some of us, Halloween holds a bit of charm as we remember our childhood, you know, experiences with the day. And for others, Halloween is a celebration that's to be avoided at all costs because of its evil roots. And so many people have questions surrounding the topic of Halloween. Should we participate, accommodate, or vigorously denounce Halloween altogether? Many Christians have taken a very strong stand in opposition to Halloween on the grounds that it supports satanic worship and the worship of other gods rather than the one true God. So this topic becomes a bit of a hot topic in Christian circles. Is it sinful and evil, or is it just fun and games? Is it a problem, or is it a potential opportunity? To answer such questions, I'd like to offer kind of three different perspectives on Halloween. And the first one being the historical perspective of Halloween. Now, I'm going to give you just a brief overview of Halloween, because the history of Halloween, there's so much that you could research on it. And I did extensive research this week, watching videos and looking online, and oh my goodness, there is so much on Halloween. But I'm going to give you a brief overview of the history. So first of all, we must understand that the North American celebration of Halloween derives heavily from Scottish and Irish folk customs that are rooted in the ancient Celtic feasts of Samhain. Now, it looks like Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain. Although modern Halloweens can be viewed as nights of exuberant fun and eerie games, its pagan beginnings are not so innocent. Originally, November 1st was a celebration of the Druids in honor of Samhain, whom they believed to be the Lord of the Dead. The Druids believed that on the eve of this festival, October 31st, Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, called together the wicked souls that within the last past months have been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. The veil, they believed, between the present world and the spirit world and the world beyond was pierced, releasing demons, witches, and hobgoblins en masse to harass the living. Interestingly enough, they thought that the cat was sacred because they thought that cats, especially black cats, had once been human beings whose spirits were transferred into the cat as punishment for their evil deeds, which makes you wonder, why were they classified as sacred? And now we know why I don't like cats. Okay, maybe a little bit. There was a prevailing belief among many nations that the death of the souls of good people were taken by good spirits and carried to paradise. But the souls of the wicked men were left to wander in the space between the earth and the moon, or confined to inhabit animals. Typically, the Druids believed that on this one night of the year, the eve of Samhain festival, the spirits of the dead returned to their original homes along with other ghosts and goblins. In order to protect themselves or make themselves immune, in order for people to protect themselves or make themselves immune to attacking demons, people would disguise themselves as witches, devils, and ghouls. From where we derive the custom of wearing costumes for Halloween. They also attempted to ward off evil spirits by carving scary, grotesque faces on various gourds illuminated with a candle. Now it's where we get our custom of the whole jack-o'-lanterns. In order to placate the evil spirits, they offered a variety of treats, fruits and vegetables and other types of food usually. If the demonic hordes were satisfied, it was believed that they would leave you in peace. But if they were not satisfied, if you didn't offer any treats or your offering wasn't good enough, the ghosts would trick you by casting a spell on you and wreaking havoc in your home. Thus, the tradition of trick or treat was born. Despite its sinister origins, however, I think we can learn a lot from how the early Christians responded to this Samhain festival. As Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire and Europe, many pagans and even Druids converted to Christianity, but they were still very superstitious. They didn't have Bibles back then, and most of them were illiterate anyway. So without proper education, many of these new believers brought their old superstitions with them into the church, including their belief about ghosts and goblins. In order to better educate new believers, the church established a rival celebration and designated it as November 1st, as All Saints' Day or Hallowmas. Rather than fearing the onslaught of evil spirits who had been condemned during the course of that year, All Saints' Day celebrates and honors all the saints or martyrs who had died that year. And on October 31st, itself became known as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween. And get this, the literal meaning to the word Halloween, are you ready? Holy evening. Holy evening. Interesting. Thus, All Hallows' Eve was an attempt on the part of Christianity to overwhelm the traditions of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. So, with this historical perspective on Halloween in mind, let me share with you a holy perspective of Halloween. In other words, what does the Bible have to say about all of this? Obviously, you can't look up Halloween in the back of your Bible in the concordance and get all the scriptures you need, right? You got to kind of do a little bit more digging than that. And we can find in scriptures that deal with worshiping pagan gods or false gods because and telling us not to. Why? Because there's only one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of all that exists, the God in whose name we praise and worship and adore at Abundant Life. We can find in Scripture, however, that Scripture talks about witchcraft and that we should have nothing to do with it. But the verses in Scripture I want to highlight this morning are very relevant to the subject found. And it's found in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 8. And this is what it says. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. They all will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than others, or than another, and another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as a special day does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, let me bring this bring this all in. The Apostle Paul, who is a first century follower of Jesus, wrote approximately half of the New Testament portion of the Bible, addresses two specific issues that I think that are relevant to Halloween. Number one, first, he dealt with meat that had been sacrificed to pagan gods. There were many new Christians who, as I mentioned earlier, brought their old superstitious beliefs with them and became Christians. Some who had converted from paganism, even though they had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, still believed in the gods of Roman and Greek mythology. Therefore, they refused to eat any meat that was that had been sacrificed to those gods because they saw it as a form of worshiping those old gods. Those are what Paul calls the weaker Christians, all right? The stronger Christians, who were more mature in their faith, realized that gods such as Zeus and Hermes and Athena didn't really exist. They're just myths and fairy tales. Therefore, they had no problem eating the meat that had been sacrificed to those gods because those gods weren't even real. The second issue that Paul addresses here pertains to holidays, and some Christians wanted to celebrate special days or holidays such as the Passover and Hanukkah and other Jewish celebrations, while other Christians who weren't Jewish believed that every day was the same and that there was no need to celebrate a holiday. Paul's solution on these two matters of the contention is found in Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, if we take these two examples and put them together, we get a bit of a biblical perspective on the controversy over Halloween. Halloween is a holiday, literally a holy evening, that is dedicated to a pagan god. Some people understand that there is no such thing as ghosts and goblins and have no problem participating in modern celebrations, while others believe that Halloween's dubious origins make it something in which Christians should never be involved in. I want to be very careful in my approach of this because there are elements of Halloween that I really feel that are really gross and I believe to be very demonic. But there are elements to it that are enticing and fun. Right? And I've been asked, is Halloween, you know, something that Christians should participate in? And I mean, like, and so I get asked that and I'm like, oh man, it's kind of a hard thing because it's hard to try to appease both camps. There's some that say, hey, we should have nothing to do with it. And then there's some that are saying, hey, listen, why should the devil have so much fun with all of this? I don't know if anybody remembers back in the 70s, there was a musician, Christian musician called artist called Larry Norman. And he wrote a wonderful song about why should the devil have all the good music? And that was kind of at the turn when Christian music was becoming on the rise and was taking lots of hits. And it was like, why should the devil have all the good music? And I'm kind of like that too. Why should the devil have so much more fun than us? That's not fair. Because I'll tell you something. My kids at home, they dress up like almost 365 days a year. They don't need a holiday to dress up, right? They don't need a holiday to dress up. They have fun all the time. You can come anytime to my house and Levi will either be dressed up as Black Panther and Micah as a stormtrooper. But I'll tell you, it's a loaded question and it's going to offend some, right? But if we take from Paul's passage here, and when I talk about Halloween, I'm not talking about, you know, all the satanic witchery that goes with it, right? I'm talking about like the dressing up and getting candy. Anybody like candy? I love candy. And better yet, you know what's best about candy about this time of year? I don't have to pay for it. It's perfect. I can get all the money, all the candy you paid for, right? But and this is the thing. But if we're going to take this passage from what Paul from Paul and use it to guide us through the context, I would say this: if Halloween bothers you deep down in your spirit, and you just can't conscientiously have any association with Halloween, then I would strongly recommend that you obey those deep convictions and steer completely from it. Now, if you, on the other hand, your participation in Halloween can be used as an opportunity to honor and glorify God and to have fun with your family, not buying in full both feet to all the grossness that comes with Halloween, but it's something that's fun and enjoyable for your family, then I believe that if you can turn that around and somehow bring God's glory into that, then do it. May our lives be a living testimony. Whatever we do, as Christians, we are to live our lives differently than everybody else. And how do we live our lives differently? There's something different about us. We're in this world. We're not supposed to be of it, but we're supposed to be in this world. And I believe that you can bring, even into Halloween, Jesus Christ. I believe that you can do that. And so, you know, use your life as a living testimony. I remember one family, and it was just admiration. This one family, the parents with their young kids would get all dressed up, and they would go door to door, and it was family time with all of them. Of course, the parents got the candy tax, the parent tax of the candy at the end of the day, because, you know, but it was neat to see this family. And I mean, they didn't dress up as gross, evil. I think the dad dressed up as Shrek one year. I mean, it was kind of funny. He was all green. And I said, man, you should cheer for that football team. And then the next year, he did dress up as a Rider fan with no teeth and a banjo. And you see, I think we can bring the presence of God into everything we do. And our lives should be a living testimony. You see, our family tries to do whatever we can to bring glory to God in everything we do. And I think that's how we need to live our lives. So maybe this Halloween, you can do something a little bit different. And so with that said, I want us to be reminded also that both Christmas and Easter also have origins in pagan celebrations too. And I don't know if you knew this, but December 25th was originally a pagan festival celebrating the birth of the sun god Apollo. But the early church intentionally chose that day to establish a rival celebration, the birth of God's one and only son, Jesus Christ. And just to say, and some people might have different views on this, we've adopted, as Christians in North America, we've adopted some of the practices of decorating a Christmas tree, you know, decorating our homes and stuff like that. But it doesn't steer us away from the focus of Jesus Christ. In fact, we use it to point all roads to Jesus Christ. Easter is another one. It was originally a pagan springtime festival, but again, Christians chose that time of year to establish a rival celebration to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And while the world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods and of ancient mythology, unless you're in high school, they are annually reminded that the 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ arrived in a manger, died on a cross, and rose from the grave. So when it comes to Halloween, Christmas, and Easter, it's important to steer our focus onto the one true God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to rescue humanity, all humanity, from their sin and from death. It's important to teach our children that God is to be glorified, not witches or warlocks, not Santa Claus or Christmas trees, not Easter bunny or chocolate eggs. Christians over the centuries have permeated these pagan festivals to bring glory and honor to the name above all names, the one who is and is to come, the one whom every knee will one day bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I want to give you one last perspective this morning before we close, and this, I believe, is very important for one to consider, and that's the hands-on perspective to Halloween. The hands-on perspective of Halloween. Can Halloween actually be redeemed? Can it be redeemed? Well, I want to tell you, Focus on the Family years ago published a book, and they got a lot of heat for this. A lot of heat. And it was from the Christians. It was Christians on both sides of the... You have to understand that there's a couple of different views within the churches. There's the ones that are saying, hey, we're to abstain from anything that's evil. And then there's the other side that says, hey, listen, we want to permeate the darkness and cast a light. So what happened is Redeeming Halloween talked about how can we take this dark event, this dark time, and cast a light. And so anyways, we read that book because we were at a time in our lives kind of wondering, well, what do we do? You know, what do we do as Christians? What do we do as spiritual leaders? How do we approach this? So we thought, you know what? The first year, we'll hand out candy. We'll just hand out some candy. We won't go door-to-door trick-or-treating. We'll just have our kids. We'll hand out candy. They can dress up in our home and just hand out candy. It'll just be a fun event. Well, we ran out of candy 30 minutes in. 30 minutes in. And it was crazy. And so we're sitting there for the rest of the night thinking, well, that sucks. And so I was thinking, well, what kind of testimony are we being for Christ this Halloween? Because I'm always looking at a dark event or looking at anything. I look at everything and say, how can I cast the light of Jesus Christ on it? And I thought, well, how can we make an imprint on Halloween? Because, I mean, you walk up and down, I call it Candy Lane. Lake and Park Avenue are Candy Lane. Okay, there are hundreds of kids that go trick-or-treating, and we used to live on Lake Avenue, 205 Lake Avenue, and that was like right in the heart of Candy Lane. And so anyways, we decided, we thought, hey, we're gonna get the best chocolate bars. We're gonna have the best candy. We bought full-size chocolate bars. We thought, nobody else is doing that. We're gonna give away full-size chocolate bars. And on each chocolate bar, we're gonna post a little business card that advertises all the events at our church. But before we did that, I had to run it past my spiritual covering. My spiritual covering at the time was Pastor Jake and Verna Dell. Told them about what I wanted to do. And he says, do it. I love it. Just do it. So we did. And so that year, we borrowed the church projector. We showed VeggieTales on our garage door. Now, anybody remember the whole VeggieTales, where's God when I'm scared? God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's looking out for you and me. Right? Right? Everybody remember that? All right. Well, we had that on loop. Kind of. Because it was VHS and we had to rewind it every time. So I had to rewind it, okay, so it wasn't quite on loop. Anyways, we had it playing on our garage door. We had some lawn chairs set out, and so parents would come, the kids would sit down, and I think we even served like some popcorn and stuff like that. And then parents were like, oh, can my child use the washroom? They really got to go pee. And it's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, you know, and all that. And I thought, okay, next year we're going to go bigger. We're going to go bigger and better. But it was funny because that summer, we had some friends over. It was July long weekend. Him and I are sitting there waiting in my kid's kiddie pool. It was a hot day. And anyways, we see this kid walk by our house. No word of a lie. With his parents. And he looks at it and he points at the house. And he goes, yeah, that's the house that gave us the full-size chocolate bars at Halloween. Touchdown! Yes. But I wanted to do more. And so that next year, it snowed. And I was like, really? This sucks. Now, I have to remind you, too, when we're thinking about doing more, we're thinking of, well, we want to just light up our corner. And so that's what we did. We grabbed lights. We had a friend of ours down the street had a whole bunch of pumpkins. They gave us pumpkins, and we cut out all the fruits of the spirit on these pumpkins and lit them up. And that year, the funniest thing. And then we opened up our garage as a warm-up stop, and we served hot apple cider and hot chocolate, and we gave away the full-size chocolate bars, and we played VeggieTales inside the garage. This time it was Lord of the Beans, right? So good. And I mean, the kids were all in there. It was fun. I mean, it was a hoot. The best part of it was this kid dressed up as a vampire, and he goes up to the pumpkin that's carved in joy, and he says, "What does joy have anything to do with Halloween?" And my friend who happened to be there that night looked at him and he says, "Well, what's in your bag?" He says, "Candy." He says, "Does that bring you joy?" "Yeah, I guess so." "Well, there you go." You see, these kids, we had an opportunity not only to speak into the kids, but also to speak into the parents. Because why should the kids get away with a whole loot and the parents freeze their butts off, right? And so that's what we did. Well, when we moved back to Lactobani, we didn't live on Candy Lane anymore. So the dad who used to dress up and go with his kids door to door trick-or-treating happened to be on our church board at the time. And he said to me, he says, "James, so now you're back." He says, "What are we doing about Halloween? You thought about it?" I said, "Yeah, I thought about it lots." And he says, "I got an idea." I said, "David, I don't live on Candy Lane anymore." He says, "I know. I got a great idea." He says, "Memorial Park, no lights. It's the darkest park in Lactobani." I said, "Okay." He says, "What do you say we set up a tent and we light it up and just light that park up? Light the night." I was like, "I love it. I love it." And you know what? People got on board. People got on board. We were going to rent a tent. One was donated for us to use. And then eventually we ended up buying our own tent. And now as years go by, right, we've had people bring a porta potty for the night. We've had the Legion. They donate cookies, right? And we don't bake them anymore. We've got the newspaper that advertises for us. There's so many good things. It's like the community is saying, "Hey, we love what you're doing. Can we be a part of it?" See, we're lighting the night. We're not celebrating the witches and the goblins and all that kind of stuff. We're celebrating the night. But I love seeing all the kids come in. So when a kid comes in with a ghoulish looking costume, I don't like say, "Hey, sorry, we can't have that here." I just say, "Hey, listen, cool costume. Tell me about it." Right? Because I want to know. I want to know. So what's this mean to you? And then as they're enjoying a cookie, I love that the community comes to us. And what's happened is now we've become a safe haven on Halloween. We've become a safe haven. And I'll tell you, how we do this is just being us, just being people, serving a need and saying, "Hey, here you go." Anybody's welcome to come in to the doors of the tent. Because I'll tell you this, we will meet more people in our community in that tent than we will in this building. And who are the people we are to be lights to? Our community, right? And that's why I love doing what we do, to build relationship. Because when people know that you care, when they know how much you care, then they're willing to listen. They're willing to listen. And you'll even find that they'll come to you in a time of need, in a time of hurting, and saying, "Can you pray for me?" See, we look at Halloween as an opportunity, as a mission, as a mission. And it's beautiful. We love what we do. And I'm so glad that our church supports that. And is on board with that. Because all of this is possible because our church decided to be a light. To be a light in a dark place. And I want to just add this. Not a condemning light. A light of love. A light of acceptance. Come as you are. Right? A light that says, "Hey, all are welcome." And we take the powerful presence of Christ. And understand this, people. As followers of Jesus, as Christians, we take the powerful presence of God's Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. And in whatever we do, let's bring glory to his name. Glory to his name. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he says, "He came to seek and save the lost." Jesus went to to a lot of places that made church people uncomfortable. And the church people in his day made him well aware of that. And he says, I didn't come for those that don't need a doctor. I didn't come for those that are already living large and in charge for God. I came for those who are oppressed. I came for those that are sick. I came for those who are needy. And I'll tell you, what better time to reach out to people, to those that don't know Jesus, than at Halloween, when everyone comes to you? Or listen, let's say you have young children. And I want to tell you, you can use your children as a wonderful tool for God's kingdom. And this is how you do it. If you're going to go trick-or-treating this year, walk with your child right up to the door. Meet your neighbors. Meet them. Meet them and get out and start a conversation, because that conversation could lead to another conversation that could eventually lead to you leading that person to Jesus Christ. And they will have fun with you, and because I want to tell you this, they're expecting you. They're expecting you this Halloween. So look at your trick-or-treating with a different perspective of, I'm going to be a light wherever I go. And maybe you want to dress up in a costume that brings some question, that opens the conversation. Dress up as Moses, dress up as Noah. I kind of steer away from dressing up as Jesus, because that might be a little sacrilegious, but you know what I mean. Dress up as something that gets people's minds thinking of, oh, well, tell me about that. Dress up as a big Bible. What does a Bible have to do with Halloween? Oh, let me tell you, right? Who knows? They're expecting you. There will always be those who will use this event like Halloween for menacing purposes, whether it is to vandalize or experiment with evil practices. The sort of thing doesn't make Halloween the devil's day. It just reveals the sinful nature of the human heart. People will use any excuse to practice evil, but it's our job as followers of Jesus to overwhelm evil with good, to overwhelm the tradition of ghosts and goblins with the truth of God's love, God's goodness, and God's amazing grace. The trick is to treat Halloween as a strategic event rather than a satanic oppression. At least that's my perspective. You may have another perspective, and that's perfectly okay. I love what Laura Beth Jones says in her book, Grow Something Besides Old. She talked about one Halloween where she ran into the same situation we did. She got more creative than we did. She ran out of candy and then started handing out like quarters and nickels and dimes and stuff like that. And so anyways, this one little girl about 5 years old dressed up as a fairy princess came to her door, and she had a little crown and a wand and all dressed up as fairy princess. And Jones dropped the 2 quarters into the child's candy bag and said, I've run out of candy, but tomorrow you can take these 2 coins to the store and turn them into real candy. The little girl stepped back, looked up at her, and said, Lady, this wand isn't real. Ghosts and goblins may not be real. Now, when I talk about ghosts, I want to just, I learned this in the conversation from somebody in the first service. When I talk about ghosts in this perspective, according to Saul Wynn, are people, right? After they die. That's what they mean by ghosts. Now, ghosts might not be real. There is a very real, when we talk about the demonic, we talk about demons, that's fallen angels. Completely different. And listen, while we're on that topic, that thread, when we go to heaven, we don't turn into angels, all right? We become in new bodies as God intended us to be. So these angels that have fallen for heaven aren't like once people that have turned into demons and then have come to earth. That's not like any, there's a whole sermon to be had on all that. But I want to just share this, that ghosts and goblins may not be real, and Samhain certainly isn't the Lord of the Dead. But there is a real spiritual realm out there. There is life after death. And Jesus died and rose again so that we could live with him in heaven for eternity. There's nothing scarier than facing death without Jesus. And for those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, let's make the most of every opportunity to glorify his name. Because what a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. And we thank you for your word and your word being true. And Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of life. You are the author and giver of life. You are the sustainer of life. And so, Father, this Halloween, I pray that we would look at Halloween as an opportunity to do something for you. And so, God, I pray that in this room, that as we go forward, Lord, as there still might be and there still will be, Lord, different perspectives of this day, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't judge or condemn, but Lord, we would look at internally ourselves. How can we turn this into a place of being a testimony for you? How can I turn what we do on this day, on Thursday, October 31st, what can we do to make it more meaningful and more purposeful and to build your kingdom? So, Lord, we thank you. God, I pray that you would use us in a powerful way, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I want to just fill you in a bit of what's happening here at Abundant Life this week and what's coming up. The Abundant Life Chapel Ladies Retreat is happening at Camp Cedarwood on November 8th to 10th. With guest speaker Cher Polson from Calvary Temple. There might still be room for you to sign up. Let Melanie know at the end of the service because I believe numbers have to be in by Tuesday. So we need to know ASAP. Also, sign-up sheets to help out with Abundant Life Chapels. Light the Night warm-up tent on October 31st is on the brown table in the foyer. We still need some help with hot chocolate and hot apple cider, or hot chocolate rather, being donated. So if you've got some hot chocolate you'd like to donate, or that we would gladly take those donations. Also, as well as a few volunteers for the shifts from 7 to 9. I think there's a little bit of a typo because we're only open till 8:30. I don't know what you do till... Oh, just clean up. Yeah, okay, I got you. So we could use some volunteers there to hand out cookies and help us clean up. And we're so thankful for the Legion, the Ladies Auxiliary at the Royal Canadian Legion, Lac-Tabani Branch 164, that have donated cookies once again. I believe they've donated over 200 cookies again, and so we're just glad for that. For more information on events here at Abundant Life, please visit our website at abundantlifechapel.ca, or you can check us out on Facebook or on Instagram. All of our upcoming events are in the bulletin that you were given as you walked in the door. And a huge thank you again to everybody in your love and your concern for our family during this trying time, and we just love you. I'm going to call the ushers forward as we take up the morning tithes and offerings, and I just want to just make you aware of a couple of prayer requests. It just seems like the highway to eternity has been really busy lately. Anybody go to the Toby Mac concert this last week? Anybody go? No? Anybody know who Toby Mac is? Anyways, he's a Christian hip hop artist. He was back in the days of DC Talk, and all you're like, oh, that guy. Okay. No, anyways, Toby Mac had to cancel his Canadian tour, had to rush home to a family emergency on Wednesday morning. He did the concert in Winnipeg Tuesday night, rushed home. His eldest son, Truett, age 21, passed away. And so we want to remember that even those that are celebrities hurt and are grieving. And so we want to remember Toby. The real name is Kevin McKeon, is Toby. So we want to remember the McKeon family in prayer. Also, I just got a call yesterday that my cousin, my younger cousin from Ontario, his wife passed away yesterday morning at the age of 43, complications with breast cancer. And there was also a death in the community here as well. David, McCalder passed away. So we want to remember the McCalder family in prayer. And also, I was also told that there was is it Blue River Airlines? There was a Blue Water Aviation. The plane went down near Grand Rapids, I believe, and they've sent divers to look for the passengers. So we want to remember them in prayer. And so let's just go to prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, We just thank you that you are such an amazing God. And Lord, when things happen in life that we just don't completely understand, we can go to you. We can go to you and just lay it at your feet and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know that you are at work and that you are sovereign in all situations. So Lord, we think of those, the McCalder family, Lord, that is grieving from the loss of David this last week. Father, I pray that you would be with their family, that you would strengthen them. Lord, I pray for the Lovering family. Lord, I pray for my cousin Lloyd, who lost his wife, Melissa. And God, I think of their two young daughters right now that are just trying to put together in their minds what's happening. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with my Uncle Jack and Auntie Melody as they are grieving through this and helping their son through this process of grief. And so, Lord, we lift that to you. Lord, we think of Blue Water Aviation. God, who the plane went down, so a loss of equipment, but also the loss of life, Lord. We think of the three souls on that plane. Lord, if there is a sliver of hope that those lives have been spared, God, I pray that they would be found quickly in Jesus' name. But Lord, if they have perished, I pray that you'd wrap your arms around the family right now, Father, and give them peace. Lord, we think of the McKeon family down in Tennessee. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be with them as they're grieving the loss of a son and a brother. So God, I pray that you would just be with them during this troubling time, bring healing to their hearts. And Lord, as they continue to be a light and shine their light, Lord, I pray that this tragedy, Lord, would be somehow turned around for your glory. God, we think of those that are needing a healing touch. We think of Carol, Michael Vale's sister, who's fighting cancer at this time. Be with her. Lord, we think of Cheryl Clark right now, who's battling health concerns. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with her. And Lord, we think of Talia and the courage that she has, Lord, to go to Teen Challenge. And so, Father, we just pray that those finances would all come together, that you would bless her, Lord. Strengthen her for this next journey. And Lord, I pray that she would have just amazing support around her, just cheering her on, Father, for this decision to go and get wholeness and healing. Lord, we think of Michael Holland, who's already at Teen Challenge, Lord, and pray that you would just continue to impart into his life. Thank you, Lord, for many of those that have come and supported our family. But Lord, I pray that you continue to be with Melanie's dad and her sister and brother, Lord, as they continue to grieve the passing of her mom. And so, God, we give this all to you. Lord, we give this to you in Jesus' holy name. Father, we pray for the offering that we're about to take. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of your people. Lord, as they sow into this offering and sow into the building of your kingdom in this community, Lord, and in this province, and Lord, that we will have influence that will spread to the nations. So God, we thank you for that in Jesus' holy name. Amen.